American dreams become reality in Texas. Over $2 million to be paid out. March 7th and 8th at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. More than 130 of the world's best athletes to compete.
It truly is the American dream.
My American dream is to walk across that stage.
And my American dream is to be able to take care of my family.
Tickets start at just $10. The toughest cowboys and cowgirls compete to be rodeo's newest millionaire. It's going to be life-changing.
Catch them in the pasture, run them in the pen, work them on the Sundays, do it all again. Race them in the sand, buck them in the mud, drip a cowboy's sweat, bleed a cowboy's blood.
I'm Zeke Thurston, 2016 World Champion Saddle Buck Rider, and you're watching the Peppered Stewart Show.
All right, it's that time. Yeah, it's always that time. I don't know what time it is where you are, but it's that time where I am. A lot of stuff coming up, a lot of good things going down in the ranch and rodeo world, and we're going to talk about that. We've got an interview here momentarily with a breakaway rope. We're going to talk about some roping. A little bit of roping, beef and cattle news. We got some stuff about that. There's some good stuff going on, bad stuff going on. Some's in the middle, some's not. The Global Cup, the PBR Global Cup. Don't forget, you're going to want to be there. We're gonna let you know. If you don't know by now, we're going to let you know how the teams look and who's on what team and how that looks. Bullfighting, cowboy protection, all that stuff going on. A lot of events, a lot of things happening in that realm. We're going to discuss that some. Horse racing, Churchill Downs. There's some stuff going to happen there. You could go there for free, possibly. It's up to you, not up to me. That's your deal. Horse hockey, Texas horse hockey. Did you know that there was a such thing as Texas horse hockey? You can play horse hockey in Texas. We're going to touch on that. Odd news, man. I don't even know how to start. I don't even have a way to start with what we got lined up in the odd news. It's a lot. It's odd, and that's all I can say. That's much of a teaser as I can give you on that deal. So we're gonna briefly discuss that stuff. There's a new movie coming out, I guess another month or two, that kind of throws some rodeo action in there. We're gonna talk about that. Show you a trailer for it. I don't know what else to tell you. I do want to know. You guys reach out to us. I think we posted it on one of the Facebook pages. We were talking the other day about guilty pleasure TV shows. What's your guilty pleasure TV show that you watch? That you really don't like telling people you watch it, but you watch it anyway. So, you know, we may talk about that. Man, everything else is going on. A lot of good stuff. Like we said, Global Cup's coming up. Also, after the Global Cup, there's something else coming up that you're gonna want to get tickets to going down to AT&T Stadium. So take a peek at this, and when we come back, we're going to be on the phone with a breakaway roper.
Drove all the way from Washington State.
Oh!
And if you're going to go that far across the country, you got to make it worth it. And that's exactly what Sarah just did. Watch this again. This way maybe you don't blink and you can see it. 2.65, and the young lady from the Great Northwest fitting in quite nicely here in the Sooner State.
If you're going to be a bear, you might as well be a grizzly.
And that's what Anthony said. That's what he's talking about. What we're talking about is breakaway roping. I put a story out last year, you know, after the American, the breakaway going on. It's popped up again because breakaway's in the news and everybody's face. So we're talking about that once again. And with that, on the line, actually going down the rodeo road, we've got Sarah Morrissey on the line. You there, Sarah?
I sure am.
What is going on today? So you on the rodeo road?
I am. I just left Fort Worth and I'm headed down to Hamilton for the wildfire.
So how was Fort Worth in the new Dickies? I hadn't been over there yet to check that out. So how was the new arena there?
You know, that was an absolutely amazing facility, amazing hospitality. Yeah, we really get spoiled there. That was pretty cool.
Nice. So let's go back a while and dive into What brought you to the event of Breakaway Roping? What was it about Breakaway that led you to compete?
Well, I mean, I guess when you start like in little britches and stuff like that, it's just one more event, and you do that. And if you're not a very good barrel racer, you lean to the goat tying and the breakaway roping, and that's where I went. And it carried on from there. So.
All right. Now, as far as breakaway, and you're headed down to Hamilton. So, what all events do you compete in?
I only breakaway rope anymore. I tried team roping a little bit here and there, but you know, for time allotment and the amount of practice that I was able to get, I just had to focus on breakaway. So.
Well, that makes sense, because if you watch my team roping, you would think I was breakaway roping.
Well, I tell you what, my team roping isn't that great, so.
they're like, what is he doing? Is he team roping? Is he breakaway roping? What? How does that even work? So.
Yeah, exactly, right?
So, you're from the northern country. How's that?
I am. I'm originally from Canada, and came down on rodeo scholarships and went to school in the States. Went to Idaho and Chadron, Nebraska, and University of Wyoming, and then landed over in Washington and went to work and became an adult for a while, and stayed up in Washington for the last 12 years or so, and now I'm just on the road rodeoing.
Now we ran a clip earlier from the WCRA. How has that been as far as being part of that and competing in those rodeos?
That the WCRA has been awesome, you know, just really opened up some big opportunities, you know, good payouts and, you know, the opportunity to go to Chicago. That was really cool. The semifinals have all been really good. They've got good cattle. I feel like they keep it as fair as possible for all the contestants and all the events. So, yeah, you just keep dominating everything you do so that you can keep going back.
All right. Now, as far as traveling with you, do you just carry one horse with you? Carry a couple of horses? What do you haul?
I've had my one horse, Oreo. I've had him basically, and that's about it. And I just got a young horse, so she's in the trailer with me now, and just kind of bringing her along, and hopefully get her going as well here shortly. So, but yeah, my main one horse has been Oreo for. Oh, the last 8-9 years.
All right. And do you haul by yourself, or who hauls with you?
Most of the time it is me and my dog and my horses. So every once in a while someone will jump in, and that's always good to help out with the fuel.
All right. Sounds like you got a trailer though. So between you and the dog, what kind of road snacks, what road snacks are you hauling?
Road snacks, lots of water, you know, the odd iced tea and some sunflower seeds. That's kind of how we survive.
Now your hauling partner there, that pup that runs with you, what pup are you hauling? What do you got riding shotgun?
I got Buster. He rides in the back seat or else on the floor, and he is a big old border collie bull terrier cross. He's got a face only a mother could love.
That's the best kind. That's the best kind, I guess.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Pretty good dog. Everybody knows him.
Now, when you're on the road and you're out and you're laid up at a rodeo, or even back at the house, what is the TV show, or the, as you would say, the guilty pleasure TV show that you watch when you got a little downtime?
Well, I tell you what, I haven't had cable TV or any of those things for years and years and years. So, I mean, I will throw in a movie every once in a while. You know, Little Tombstone or Sweet Home Alabama, but it's, yeah, I don't watch much TV.
So there's no binge watching Netflix, nothing like that?
No, well, I did a little bit of that here in the last month or so. I was at a place that had some Netflix and a little Heart of Dixie, but that's about it. I'm pretty simple.
That's it. All right. What about some sponsors that you got? Any sponsors you want to throw out to kind of help you get up and down the road?
Yeah, you know, I've got some wonderful sponsors. I've got Willard Ropes. They keep my rope can full. And Finolio Boots. They're just awesome family-run company here out of Nocona, Texas. They've certainly taken care of all my footwear. And then Resist All Hats. They've been wonderful as well. So, and then I've got another gal out of Omak, Washington, Sabrina Lay. She's got a boutique there, Lazy Rose Boutique, and she's just kind of come on board with me as well. So I've got a good support system there, and I really appreciate them. It certainly makes a difference.
All right. Now, before we let you go, I don't want you to have a wreck while you're driving. Before we let you go, any of the young girls, you know, the young kids watching that look up to y'all and watching you on TV and watch you break away roping and seeing what y'all are doing, what's a little piece of advice you'd give to the younger up and comers that are watching your success?
Oh man, just keep working hard and keep at it. You know, work with what you've got and make the best out of what you have. You know, there's no such thing as practicing too much, I don't think, although sometimes it's best to step away. But, you know, practice is important, and having people that, you know, that you welcome and allow to help you out and help make you a better roper and person. So everybody's out there to help each other, it seems. So definitely take advantage of that.
All right. Well, we'll pass that on. And Sarah, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to visit with us while you're on the rodeo road. And good luck, and we'll see you soon.
You bet. Thank you so much, Pepper. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Beef, cows, milk, stuff. Man, a lot of stuff's going on. We've got more and more trade deals and whatnot. I don't know. I put out the video from last year, right in December. I think it was December. We talked about the U.S. and China trade deals and how nothing happened again. And so you got all these trade things going on. But something actually did happen. Let's talk about this. The NWPR, you're like, what does that even mean? This is what it means. The navigable, yep, that's a real word, navigable water protection rule is a done deal. And to step up from the old WOTUS, which is the WOTUS, that old water deal. Remember the big water deal? The Navigable Water Protection Rule, which to my knowledge has yet to be nicknamed other than WOTUS 2.0. It's a done deal. After years and years of work, the waters of the U.S. and WOTUS rules behind us with the new rule that takes place in mid-March. So it's coming up soon. The NCBA Chief Environmental Council said they're celebrating because the new rule is more specific about what is and what isn't regulated and is more constrained. If you recall, Trump's administration repealed the 2015 Obama-era WOTUS rule back in September. The new NWPR, I keep thinking I'm at that radio station, WMPBR. See, the rule replaces and repealed the WOTUS rule. It's essential. Because without some sort of regulation, direction, the federal government bureaucrats could pretty much regulate anything they wanted to because there'd be no guardrails to stop them. So this new rule is something that beef producers can take credit for because the outreach from the grassroots got it done. While the rule is final and become effective soon, there's still challenges. It'll be litigated by every environmental advocacy group out there. It's going to take some time and money. Expect issues to go before the Supreme Court in the coming years. Supreme Court's already looked at the issue 3 times, and maybe the 4th will be the charm to bring some finality to the fight. So stay tuned. But in the meanwhile, the WOTUS rule is dead. So long live the replacement of that, which was that big thing that everybody's upset about because they're wanting to regulate your water on your property. So whatever water you had on your property, whatever you're doing with it, whether you're pumping it out for irrigation, feeding your cattle, whatever you're doing with it, they're going to regulate it. More likely to try to charge you for it because that's what the government does. Let's talk about meat. Let's talk about some meat, tasty meat. Is it tasty? Is it not tasty? Everybody's up in arms over all this mess about real meat, fake meat, test tube meat, whatever. It's... eat whatever you want. All right, just eat what you want to. So they did a study, because everybody wants a study. You know, you put a study out to study studies. So here's the study they did. How popular is fake meat in America? I will tell you this. I did eat some fake meat accidentally in England the last time. It tasted really weird, but I had to eat it because it cost like $10 just for the patty. It wasn't a whole meal. It's just a patty. So I ate it because I bought it, but it was really weird. It tasted like bird. Looked like bird poop. You know, when bird poop's just a bunch of big pile of seeds. That's what it was, a big pile of seeds, but I ate it. Put some ketchup on it. All right, let's see. Fake meat. So the research into consumer acceptance of alternative proteins reveals that nearly a third of Americans believe that fake meat products are simply incomparable to real meat. Well, duh. It's not the same. Let's see, that takes away a survey, 32,000, which is not very many, 32,000 Americans. What I would like to know, because it didn't have it in this report, is where these 32,000 were at. Where did the study take place? Because that also will affect these numbers. But these 32,000 Americans, the Market Research Consumer Technology Association's annual CES show earlier this month in Vegas. Okay, so they did 32,000 in Vegas. It depends on when you, if you did this in December while the national finals was going on, it'd be different. A study found that 53% of Americans, mostly millennials, have tried fake meat just out of curiosity, but just 12% of those surveyed said that they eat fake meat quite often. So about 12% say they eat it often, which I don't know what that means. Once a week, once a month, twice a month, what? Fewer than 1 in 3 consumers considered fake meat healthy and environmentally friendly. Nearly half of those surveyed believe the alternative proteins are highly processed and can't compare to real meat. However, the study found a distinct difference in opinion by age groups. 16% of millennials said they eat fake meat regularly, while only 8% of boomers say they do so. And about a quarter of millennials who eat fake meat say they do it for environmental reasons, the highest among the age groups. Environmental? Chemicals? Eating chemicals helps the environment? Okay. So more than 50% of boomers say they have no interest in trying fake meat, the highest among age groups. 30% of men believe fake meat is healthy and eco-friendly, while only 25% of women share the same view. So, here's the deal. It's up to you. Eat what you want. Don't, you know, if you want to eat real meat, eat real meat. If you want your greens, I mean, you can eat your greens however you want. You can get a greens processed greens burger and eat that, or you can take a beef burger that is the same thing. The cows ate the greens, the cows made the beef. Same deal, just a little healthier process. Because eating all those chemicals, if you've looked into what goes into a fake burger, all the chemicals and processing that goes in there, it's not healthy. So, here's the deal. If you're eating fake meat, you're not eating it for health reasons, because it's not that healthy for you. You're eating it because that's your choice. And the deal is, this is America. You have freedom. You have freedom to choose. To choose what burger you want. So if you want to eat a fake burger, eat it. I don't care. If you want to eat a meat burger, eat it. I don't care. That's your choice. Eat it. That's part of living here in America. That's how things go. Speaking of being here in America, a lot of dairy farms are having fits because, once again, people aren't drinking as much milk as they used to. Why is that? The same reason why you got fake burgers. Some people choose to not have dairy in their diet. That's just how it goes. Over time, things change. Over the years, things change. Things are always changing. Go back into cars. When cars were invented, what all the blacksmiths do that were making horseshoes? What happened? All the blacksmith shops making horseshoes, what do? They're not shoeing horses anymore because everybody's driving a car. So slowly, the blacksmith got phased out and started doing something else. Same thing with the dairy farms, okay? If your milk's not working, you've got a huge facility there. You've got pasture there. Switch to beef. Switch to goats, something, or just start farming. Just start growing. Depending on where you are, start growing marijuana or grow some CBD. Speaking of CBD, if you want CBD flower, go to pepperstrip.com, click on the link and order it. But you can grow whatever you want. Just because you can't produce milk anymore doesn't mean you got to your life is over and you lost the family farm, just switch your operation to something else. I know it sounds tough, but that's life. Life's not easy. Life's not fair. Stuff happens all the time. Just look at the news over the last day. Plane crashed. Hey, stuff happens all the time. Planes crash very often. Stuff happens. Life change. You got to roll with it. Speaking of beef prices, if you're on the website, while you're there at PepperStew.com, click on Livestock Market Reports, and right there you'll find out what's going on in your area as far as cattle prices. They are still down. That U.S. and China is not working out so well, is it? Also, China is trying to kill us again with this coronavirus. So don't drink Corona, or do. I don't know how that works. Maybe if you drink Corona, is that like an anti-virus versus the coronavirus? I don't know. It's not even the same virus, but it's funny because all the meme culture has taken over, driven by the millennials that are not or eating fake meat. I don't know. So anyway, that's what's going on. Beef news. That's all I got for you. There's more stuff out there. PepperStew.com. Look it up. Find it. And until that, I will come back with some rodeo stuff.
The Professional Bull Riders returns to Arlington, Texas for the biggest event of the year. 6 teams, 5 countries, 1 global cup. Be there as the best bull riders from across the globe battle it out in the ultimate expression of national pride. The Winstar World Casino and Resort PBR Global Cup USA, presented by Monster Energy. Only at AT&T Stadium, February 15th and 16th. Get tickets at SeatGeek.com.
You can. Get them right now. Get those tickets because you want to be at that event. Don't take my word for it. See it in person. You can watch them on TV all you want to, but when you got the opportunity to go and see this stuff live in person, especially at the big spaceship in Arlington, you need to do it. It's going to be good watching. Also, give a shout out to all those folks that pay attention to the show and to our social media that won a ton of tickets to the Global Cup. Hope you guys and gals have a good time out there in Arlington. Now, what we're going to do, I'm going to give you a rundown of the teams. If you don't know, now you know who the teams are for the event. But don't take my word for it or etch it in stone because things happen. You know, somebody could get hurt between now and then. That's part of rodeo, part of bull riding. So, as of today, this time right now, that time, these are your teams for the Global Cup. So let's kick this mule right here with Australia. We're going to go down under. Team Australia, led by none other than Troy Dunn. All right, you got Aaron Clear over there. Aaron Clear? Is it Clear? How you say that? Aaron Clear over there? I think so. Brady Fielder, Nathan Burtonshaw, Troy Wilkinson, along with Cliff Richardson, Lachlan Richardson, and Kai Hamilton. Now, as you know, one of these guys will be the alternate of the group. Let's go up way up yonder to Canada. Canada, your head coach, Scott Schiffner, right there. Let's look at your team. You got Zane Lambert, Brock Radford, Jake Gardner, Jared Parsonage, Dakota Butter, and Shea Marks. Mexico. Don't forget Team Mexico. Team Mexico is there. You got Gerardo Venegas leading Team Mexico. He's got Alfonso Orto, Juan Carlos Quintera, Gustavo Berrio, Javier Garcia, Edgar Duraso, you got Alvarez, Francisco Garcia Torres for Team Mexico. Now, the team that I hate to tell you guys is probably going to win this deal, but Team Brazil, led by none other than Guilherme Marchi. If you haven't seen the Brazilian Hour that we did, I don't know, years ago up here, we did a Brazilian Hour with Guilherme. and his assistant coach, which is Robson Palermo, and we had them on along with Robson Arajal, Spider-Man, talking about Brazil stuff. This is back during the bull rope controversy. Anyway, if you haven't seen that, Google that. Google Brazilian Hour on the whatever. Watch it. Anyway, it's good stuff. All right, so Guilherme's team, you got Eduardo Aparecido, Alan de Souza, Diner Barbosa, Ramon de Lima, Jose Victor Leme, Kaique Pacheco, and Luciano de Castro. Pretty bad that I say Brazilian names better than other countries. Speaking of other countries, I got to go to Italy also, so think about that. All right, Team USA. Team USA had a huge change in the lineup just a day ago as another Texan replaced the Texan. So Team USA, the Eagles. Where's Team USA Wolves? Did I not get the hood? Okay. So the Wolves didn't get included in this report. Well, I hope I don't get attacked by Wolves when I get to the Global Cup because the report didn't make it. Well, that is random. So Team USA, the Eagles roster. Your team is going to be Jess Lockwood, Matt Triplett, Dalton Cassell, Sage Kimsey, Cody Teal, and the Cooper Davis replacement is Boudreaux Campbell. To round out Team USA. Now, Team USA Wolves is going to fall back on the reporter. So Rodeo Joe is going to have some explaining to do because it's not included. So Wolves, bite him, not me. All right, let's go down to Churchill Downs because we've got to talk about this. This is right up Chowdown Trey's alleyway right here. Churchill Downs is seeking a menu taste tester for the Kentucky Derby. The racetrack, which is the home of the Derby, announced is seeking an official menu taste tester to help finalize the list of dishes to be offered at this year's race. The racetrack said the first 100 culinary connoisseurs to submit their favorite original Derby recipe to the contest website will be entered to win a chance to be the official menu taste tester for the 146th Kentucky Derby. The taste tester will visit with the racetrack's executive chef and sample his plates and help finalize the menu for the May 2nd horse race. The submitted recipes based on creativity, ease of preparation, consistency with the Derby's party theme, and the winner will also receive tickets to the Derby and vouchers for some of Louisville's most famous restaurants. The Derby is more than just the greatest 2 minutes in sports. Celebration of Kentucky's authentic flavors, ingredients, traditions, both Churchill Downs and across the country as viewers celebrate at home. Now, we're going to talk about some local rodeo action going on. I want to tell you about this. The Texas Christian Junior Bull Riders Association. They have added a Northeast region, which is going to take place in Celeste, Texas, which is just a hair north of Greenville, Texas, right down the road from Mikasa. So it's going to be right there in Celeste, Texas, kicking off March the 15th. So they're going to have another place for these kids. The association's already out there. They've got a central division and a southern division. They're out there. So they've added the northeast region for the kids that are up, you know, farther north, so they don't have to travel so far to compete. So what they're looking for, if you want to get your kid signed up, get your membership underway, they're taking Mutton Buster. You got a Mutton Buster, sign them up. 8 and under calf riders, 11 under junior steers, 14 and under senior steers, and 15 and 19 bull riders. So if you got a kid that's interested or already competing, check them out. Go to their website at tcjbr.com. Look them up on Facebook. They're on there. Check them out. Look it up. And if you don't know, now you know. I will be there announcing this entire series. So I'll be there checking this out. We'll be doing some photography, some videos, some interviews and things for these guys, helping them out, getting them out there. So if you are in the area in North Texas, go out there and do it. It's going to be good. It's going to be good stuff. I want to tell you about something else that's going on in North Texas. It goes on around Texas, but it's going to happen in North Texas. It's coming up February the 7th through the 9th. 7 through 9, I think, somewhere in there. Don't quote me on that, but you can Google it and look it up. And I'm talking about horse hockey. Texas horse hockey. You're like, what? Are you trying to cuss without cussing? No, I'm not trying to say something like that. Horse hockey. You've seen polo. It's similar. A little rougher. You got, you're in an arena, fenced-in arena, where you can bounce it off the walls. But it's horse hockey. I know a little bit about it from watching it, a few clips on the internet. But what I'm doing, I'm going. We're going to haul down to Kaufman, Texas, February the 7th. I know the 8th and 8th and 9th. I think that Sunday is the day that we're going out. We're going to go out there and check it out, talk to some of the folks, get some video clips, see what it's all about. There is a chance I may or may not try it. I don't know. We'll see how it goes when I get there. I may, maybe not. I don't know. We'll find out. But look them up. It's called Texas Arena. I think it's called Texas Arena League. I don't know. Watch this video. See what it says. Google it. And go check it out. It's going to be in Kaufman, Texas. All right, back again. It's time for some odd news. Odd news, everyone's favorite. I don't know why. I don't know how many messages we get about this, but the odd news seems to be everybody's favorite because it's so random. You never know what we're going to pull out. But what we're going to do with odd news today is we're going to start with a big one, a real big one. The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile got off with a warning after committing a traffic violation in Wisconsin. The Waukesha County Sheriff's Department shared a photo of officers pulling over the hot dog-shaped vehicle after the driver failed to follow the state's law, move over. The move over law. They have that in Texas, too, the move over law. When a motorist sees a vehicle on the side of the road with its emergency flashing lights, the red, blue, and amber, they're required to move out of the lane closest to the vehicle if possible. If a safe lane is not possible, the motorists traveling on a two-lane road are required to slow their vehicle and maintain a safe speed for traffic conditions and you completely pass the vehicle. Which, that makes sense. That's the law here in Texas, too. If somebody's pulled over on the side of the road, broke down, or you got a cop, got somebody pulled over, you're supposed to slow down. If you can't get in the lane, you just slow down real slow and pass them. If you don't, you can get a ticket. And that's what happened to this giant Wienermobile. The Waukesha County officer administered a verbal warning to the driver and sent the Wienermobile on its way. The Wienermobile drivers are known as hot doggers, and they drive this 27-foot vehicle throughout the United States and are given extensive behind-the-wheel training before they take this vehicle on the road. All right. You're going to drive a big one, you better learn. But follow the law. Follow the rules. All right. It's getting close, depending on when you see this. It's getting close. It's real close because VD is upon us. There is a hotel in Canada that is offering an unusual VD special for your Valentine's Day. And it's kind of got an unusual kicker to it here. 18 years of free stays if the first stay leads to a baby. You're like, what? What are you talking about? This is what I'm talking about. Because we got a lot of Canadians that watch this and listen. So if you're way up yonder in Canada way, Hotel Zed, with locations in Victoria and British Columbia, said it's offering a Valentine's Day Nooner Special, allowing guests to check in from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on February 14th. The hotel has offered this Nooner Special in previous years, but this time there's an extra perk. Couples who have babies 9 months after their Nooner stay will be awarded a free stay at the hotel once a year for the next 18 years. Now, they say, I don't think we're going to conceive someone who's not thinking about, you know, conceive, sorry, to convince. I was like, what? These words don't make sense. They're not going to conceive someone. They're not going to convince someone who's not already thinking about having a baby to have a baby. So if you already got it on your mind, you're like, no, it's probably time to knock out a kid, then go to Hotel Zed for your VD. But don't get VD on VD because that'll be weird. If you're serious about expanding your family, then why not try it? If you're successful, you'll win a free hotel stay. You get, so you, once a year, you get to stay at the hotel for free. So for the next 18 years, so if you got a kid and you want to get a, you know, take a break from your kid or a break from whatever, you go stay at the hotel, you get one free stay for 18 years. The only thing I found odd about this, and let me drop down the weirdness of this. I don't know why. I don't know if they're afraid of offending anyone or something, Hotel Zed. But the hotel doesn't discriminate, and the promotion includes babies welcome via surrogacy and adoption. So what? So if you plan on adopting a kid, wait till February 14th and then adopt it on that day and take the paper to the hotel and you get a free... I don't get the surrogacy and adoption because that's not how that works. But I guess they don't want to discriminate. They want to not offend anyone. So, I don't know. You probably have to contact Hotel Zed. Tell them I told you to call. Find out. But here's the deal. If you decide to take them up on this offer and you go to the hotel for this VD Nooner, do everyone a favor and throw down a good $15, $20, $30 tip to the poor hotel person that's got to come in there and clean this mess up, because man, that's going to be the day they all call in sick to work. Like, sorry, can't work that day. All right, let's see what happens when you go to a 24-hour fitness that's not 24 hours. Yeah, you're like, what? Yeah, that's what happened. There's a guy in Utah. He turned to Facebook for advice when he found himself locked inside a 24-hour fitness that had closed for the night. Old Dan, he visited the gym for a late night workout on Saturday. He finished swimming laps in the pool after midnight on Sunday to discover he was alone in the building and the doors were locked. So he's locked in the gym. But I'm like, wait, doesn't it say 24-hour fitness? So why is it closed? So he went on Facebook to kind of chronicle his situation, because just like anybody else, he's like, man, I don't want the cops thinking I broke in here. So he called his wife, and she's like, well, just find a good place to sleep. Go to bed. So then he called 911 and said, he's like, he called the 911 and said, yeah, I'm locked in 24-hour fitness. I'm like, what? You're locked in what? He's like, yeah, it's closed. And I need you guys to come get me out, because when the alarm goes off, I don't want to be arrested for breaking in here. So the manager of the gym explained that in December, their hours changed from 24 hours to being open from 4 a.m. till midnight. So no longer 24-hour fitness. Well, the manager of the gym had some wise words of wisdom, and he said this: we clearly did not do a good job of our closing procedures. Yeah, apparently not. So he says that they'll do a little better next time. You think? But maybe he did on purpose. Maybe he's seen these, you know, see how we do these news sites and things, and he wanted to get a little free pub out there for 24-hour fitness. So, you know, it's marketing genius right there. Give him a raise. I bet they were in on it together, if you ask me. It's like, you know what? I'll give you a free year membership if you let me lock you in there, and we'll talk about it on the internet. Scotland. Scottish girl found a message in a bottle. I always like getting these stories like this. I always find this stuff interesting when you find random things like this. I always want to know more details. So a family in Scotland is trying to find out who the author of this message is in this bottle that it was dated more than 20 years ago. Wait, what? 1999 was 20 years ago? Wow. I think that's the most shocking part of the story. That's 20 years ago? Dang. All right. So Dave and Michelle said their daughters Lexi, who was 10, and Emmy, the 7-year-old, found the bottle early in January and walk on the beach in Burnfoot near Dundurin, like Duran Duran. The bottle contained a note containing a message sent from Mrs. T. Smith, Whitehaven, Cumbria, England, dated March 10, 1999. So they posted photos of the note on Facebook trying to track down this Mrs. T, who didn't include any contact information. So, I'm sorry, Mrs. T. Smith. You know how many Smiths there are all over the place? Is that even your real name, Geraldo? That's going to be hard to find. But we got more bottles to find. This is another bottle. God, talk about 1999. Now you're really talking about bottles, because didn't Christina Aguilera have a genie in a bottle? So that was all about the same time. Talk about time travel. Civil War. Researchers said a glass bottle found during an archaeological. It's like I feel like I'm on a spelling bee. And by watching, reading a lot of stuff on Facebook, a lot of you folks aren't passing the spelling bee either, so don't laugh at me too much. So on this dig in Virginia, on a Virginian highway, in the median, they believed to be a Civil War-era witch bottle that was designed to ward off evil spirits. The bottle was discovered during a 2016 dig for Civil War artifacts prior to the widening of Interstate 64 in York County. Joe Jones, the director of the research center, said the glass bottle was initially thought to be nothing more than a place to store loose nails. But that was back in 2016 when they found it. But after a little bit more information came out on what happened back in the old days, the Union troops were likely tasked with holding and repairing the forts. So the research thought that's what it was. They were, you know, building the fortifications. So they just assumed that they needed a place to keep their nails in the bottle. But after further research was done, the jug is now believed to be one of less than a dozen witch bottles discovered in the United States. The archaeologists in Britain have documented nearly 200 witch bottles. It's really a time capsule representing the experience of Civil War troops and a window back into what these guys were going through during this fortification time period. So apparently witches were upon them. That's odd, but so if you got a bucket of nails and you put some sticks in it, you can keep the witches away. There's more to that. I didn't dive all the way into it because I didn't want a Ouija board sorceress anything up in the middle of the studio. I'm in the middle of talking, so I'll let you do that at home. If you do, film it, because I want to see. All right. There was a video that went along with this story, but you're not going to see the video because I don't know what they were saying. A company operates a zoo in Thailand said that one of two giraffes that escaped from the truck remains on the loose. Now, this is a giraffe. Pretty tall. Officials with Safari World, which runs multiple zoos, said the two giraffes escaped on Tuesday from the back of a truck that was part of a slow-moving convoy of 24 trucks taking zoo animals from the airport to an animal facility station. The Parks and Wildlife officials, based on the Second Forest Conservation Office in, I don't know how you say that, said the calls came in from drivers who spotted giraffes on the side of the highway. But that was something. The officials and Safari World workers were able to tranquilize and recapture one of the giraffes, but the other one escaped pursuit. Now, how do you lose a giraffe in a pursuit? Where in a giraffe is big, real tall. I've been to Toys R Us. I know what they look like. They're pretty big. How did you lose it? The chairman of Safari World said the giraffe escape is the first incident of its type in its more than 30-year history. But it's out there. It's running in Thailand. So if you're in Thailand, you see a giraffe, call someone. But I just want to know how they lost the giraffe. How did you lose it? Because, I mean, it's got to be somebody sitting at the house, staring out the window. It's like, you know what? That's a giraffe walking across the yard over there. That's random. So I don't know. Maybe they'll find it. If they do, we'll let you know. Now, speaking of politics, let's dive into politics. Let's get into the politics. Everybody's watching it on TV all the time, and it's just the same dog and pony show or dog and goat show, whatever you want to call it. So let's look at Vermont, which makes sense. It's up that way. A Vermont goat-elected pet mayor of his town is now facing a challenger from a police canine dog in the upcoming election. The city of Fairhaven is holding an election in March to choose its next pet mayor after Lincoln, the 4-year-old Nubian goat, won last year's election by only 3 votes. The Fairhaven Police Department said canine Sammy will be challenging Lincoln in this year's election. Now, if you want to vote, do it. It's going to cost you $1. And like, what? I got to pay $1 to vote? I thought the elections were free. Well, the government elections are free, but not really, because you're going to pay for it one way or another. But anyway, $1, you cast your ballot, and the money collected during the election will go to building a new playground in the city. So you're supporting a good cause, and you're also voting. So the question is, you got this goat, and you got a canine police dog. So apparently, the goat, it doesn't say anything about the goat's service. So you got a goat running for mayor with no military experience, but you got a canine dog with military. So who do you want running your city? You want the goat who just got elected because maybe he was on TV? Maybe he was on a reality show? I don't know. Or you got a police dog, military experience, knows how to get the job done. If I was you and you were me and I was in Vermont, going for the dog. Always for the dog. Let me take a break, come back, and tell you about a TV movie. All right, I'm back. That was quick. I had to run to Vermont, put my dollar bill down on the dog, because he's going to win. Check out peppershoot.com. Look around while you're there. Visit the links. There's cattle prices. There's T-shirts. Everybody always wants a T-shirt and a hoodie. A lot of folks are picking up the hoodies because it's cold. There's hoodies, there's T-shirts, there's all kinds of designs. There is even yoga pants. You can get Pepper to a Show yoga pants there. You can also get some CBD. You can get CBD flower. You can get ointment. You can get whatever your CBD heart desires. You can get it there. Along with a few other things, check it out. Look around. It is peppershoot.com. What I want to do right now is tell you about a movie that's coming out. I think it's coming out in March, possibly. Don't quote me on that, but it's coming out soon. It's kind of a rodeo movie, kind of a not, but the trailer looks good. It looks like a good show, and you're going to want to see it because I'm going to want to see it. Everybody wants to see it. So take a look at this trailer, see what you think, and let me know if you're going to see it.
Welcome to the 25th anniversary of the toughest sport on dirt.
Well, the report said that you blacked out. What am I going to do with you?
Crystal's been causing me some grief.
You'd be in bed.
Well, you ain't doing your job, miss.
I'm doing my best. Please. Her mom is in jail. I'm sorry for what she did. Is there any way we can work this out?
That's the girl that broke into your house?
Hey, I bet she can ride better than you. Hey! Hey!
He wants to be a bull rider now.
A bull rider, huh?
You ain't gonna make no money in bull riding.
You wanna make some money, we can talk about that.
You see that bull? You think he's just going crazy, right? Wants to kill someone. His mind is going crazy with anger. When he gets close to you, he closes his eyes. He can't see. And then he's yours. You understand?